And we're hearing actually a lot about Tyre today because this is being heavily bombed by the Israelis as they're knocking out Hezbollah strongholds in Tyre. Tyre used to be an island, and then a causeway was built by Alexander the Great in 324 BC when he attacked the island, where you just dumped in enough rocks to fill in here to be able to attack, and then natural silt filled in, and then more construction. Now it's just a peninsula, and this whole portion is called Tyre now. We are in 23 of Isaiah chapter 23, and we are continuing along in our study of Tyre, the city of Tyre. Let me read a few background verses because there is judgment that's been called down upon Tyre. The judgment is spoken about throughout this chapter of chapter 23. It's spoken about in two chapters in Ezekiel. It's mentioned in Amos. So it's Ezekiel 26 and 27, Amos chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Zechariah chapter 9, so let's read a couple of background verses. Let's read from Zechariah, reading from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. For Tyre built herself a fortress and piled up silver like dust and gold like the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will dispossess her and cast her wealth into the sea, and she will be consumed with fire. So it talks about how Tyre just has built up so much wealth that silver was like dust to them. Gold was all over in the streets. So it was a very wealthy city. Remember, this city was 2,000 years old in Isaiah's day. So a very old city. It dates back to the 19th century BC. Let's read another verse, another passage from Ezekiel chapter 27. We're going to read starting from verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 12, to give the background context of a little bit about Tyre. Tarshish was your customer. So this is speaking of Tyre. Tarshish was your customer because of the abundance of all kind of wealth, with silver, iron, tin and lead, they paid for your wares. Javan and Tubal and Meshech, they were your traders. With the lives of men and vessels of bronze, they paid for your merchandise. Those from Beth to Gorma gave horses and war horses and mules for your wares. The sons of Dedan were your traders. Many coastlands were your market. Ivory tusks, ebony, they brought as your payment. Aram was your customer because of the abundance of your goods. They paid for your wares with emeralds, pearls, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and rubies. Judah and the land of Israel, they were your traders with the wheat of Minnith, cakes and honey oil and balm. They paid for your merchandise. Damascus was your customer because of the abundance of your goods, because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth, because of the wine of Helbon and white wool. Vidan and Javan paid for your wares from Uzal. Wrought iron, acacia, sweet cane were among your merchandise. Dedan traded with you in saddle cloths for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they were your customers for lambs, rams, goats. For these they were your customers. The traders of Sheba and Ramah, they traded with you. They paid for your wares with the best of all kinds of spices and with all kinds of precious stones and gold. Haran, Cana, Eden, the traders of Sheba, Assur, and Chilmad traded with you. They traded with you in choice garments and clothes of blue and embroidered work and in carpets of many colors and tightly wound cords, which were among your merchandise. The ships of Tarshish were the carriers for your merchandise, and you were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the seas.
If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, send me an email, tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together and I will share with you about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus.
So he just goes through and he lists city after city. Did you know this book is very unusual? The Bible is very unusual to give such high specificity of city after city after city. This is not a made-up story. This is not something that people pulled out of their own minds. This is documenting city after city, which is a customer of Tyre. Tyre would trade with the entire Levant, which was this region from Turkey all the way down through Syria, what is present-day Syria, present-day Lebanon, Israel, Arabia, and up to Egypt, all the way around. This whole region is called the Levant. He'd trade with all of them. And even some of the names that he's listed here, we just covered some of these names. For example, in Isaiah chapter 21, when we were talking about Arabia, in verse 13, we mentioned Dedan, the Dedanites. In verse 16 of chapter 21, we mentioned Kedar, the tribe, these Arabian tribes. And he talks about them here. He mentions them here. He says, Israel, Judah, they were your traders. All over, they were bringing whatever they had, and they were buying from you. This is like the city to be in. And we looked at this map last time. Let me bring up this map for you. Remember, this is a map of the current day map. So Spain wasn't there. Tarshish is here. So these are the names so that you can get an idea of where everything is. But the Levant is this whole region here. This is the Levant, and this is all the regions that Tyre, which is right here, would deal with. And Tarshish was 2,000 miles away. So all these metals, and we just looked at the list of metals that were coming from Tarshish, gold, silver, iron, and more, were coming from Tarshish, and these were very heavy ships, and they'd bring these wares across. And so you see that this is Tyre, and here's that red box expanded. So you had Tyre, 20 miles north of it was Sidon. Sidon actually founded Tyre, but then Tyre superseded it in its business. 2,000 miles across to Tarshish, which is in current-day Spain. It's 150 miles to Cyprus, or another name for Cyprus in the Bible is Kittim. 250 miles to Egypt, 100 miles to Joppa. We're going to make mention of all of these. This is a geography lesson in chapter 23. And just remember this part of the Nile. This is the Delta region in the Nile, and especially this easternmost finger of the Nile when it breaks up. Remember, the Nile runs from south to north because it's coming out of the mountains and spills into the Mediterranean Sea. And this is a very fertile region. This was the region of Goshen that Joseph had moved his family into and asked the Pharaoh for this region. It's the most fertile region of Egypt. And this is what you will see with Jews all the time. When they come into a country, they will scope out some of the best places, and they will end up and they will get for their relatives, and they'll have their relatives moving in those places. And they'll do this sort of thing, and they'll get set up like that. And so here's the current pictures of Tyre. It was an island off the coast of what is current day Lebanon. Here is Haifa, this northern city of Israel. Here's the northernmost city of Israel, Akko. This most northern city. But there is Tyre, and here it is expanded. And we're hearing actually a lot about Tyre today, because this is being heavily bombed by the Israelis as they're knocking out Hezbollah strongholds in Tyre. Tyre used to be an island, and then a causeway was built by Alexander the Great in 324 BC when he attacked the island, where you just dumped in enough rocks to fill in here to be able to attack, and then natural silt filled in, and then more construction. Now it's just a peninsula, and this whole portion is called Tyre now. But it used to be just this island was Tyre. So that's the map, so we can remind ourselves of that. Let's start looking down a little bit. We covered some of this last time, and we covered verse 1 last time, but we'll repeat that. Chapter 23, verse 1. The oracle concerning Tyre. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed without house or harbor. It is reported to them from the land of Cyprus. So what this is saying is that the ships of Tarshish, remember Tarshish was that 2,000 miles away in Spain, the ships of Tarshish, which would bring the wares from Tyre to Europe, these big heavy ships, and from Europe they would bring metals to the Levant region, and they would go back and forth. And Egypt, that delta region, would produce so much grain that grain would be shipped to Tarshish, and from would be shipped to Tyre, and from Tyre all the way across to Tarshish, and that's how Egyptian grain would get to Europe. So you see this. He says that whale, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed without house or harbor. It is reported to them from the land of Cyprus. So the ships of Tarshish were in Cyprus, that island 150 miles away, and they're hearing about now that Tyre has been destroyed. The Babylonians destroyed it shortly after they destroyed the first attack on Jerusalem. And the city remained desolate and destroyed and burned out for 70 years. About the same amount of time that Jerusalem remained destroyed, they remained destroyed. They were destroyed by the Babylonians about the same time. And it's reported to them in Cyprus. So remember, news didn't travel instantly. There was no X or Twitter back then. It didn't happen very quickly. So it would take sometimes weeks or months to get this information that, you know, your port city is destroyed. But what had happened was Tyre had originally been under Egyptian rule, and Tyre helped to prevent Egypt from being attacked from the north. When Egypt started losing power, Tyre was then inhabited by the Phoenicians and the Canaanites. Tyre and Sidon were inhabited by those, and so it was really Phoenicians and Canaanites that had inhabited those cities at this point. So they're hearing this news. Verse 2, "Be silent, you inhabitants of the coastlands, you merchants of Sidon, your messengers cross the sea." So he says, you guys can just be silent now because it's over. This is the destruction of Tyre. All along the coastlands, it had been the Tyrrhenians and the Sidonians that had inhabited all of these coastal cities around the eastern Mediterranean, and then even Tarshish. Tarshish was dominated by Tyrians, 2,000 miles away, because of the business that was being done. And they were the merchants. And so they were, you see it's all around. He says, all these places that you have gone to, he says, you're hearing about this now. Your messengers have crossed the sea. Verse 3, "And were on many waters, the grain of the Nile, the harvest of the river was her revenue, and she was the market of the nations." So again, this Nile here, the grain of the Nile, that's really Shihor. That's the easternmost branch of the Nile, that delta region I just told you about. That's what he's talking about. He says your grain was just so important there. This was the harvest of the river, of the Nile River was a revenue. So there was so much grain going through there. There was great revenue in this. And she was the market of the nations. This is the center. This is the hub. This is like our London or our New York City. I mean, just major, major city where so much was done, so much was negotiated there. Just a quick reminder, this organization is run totally by volunteers, but we do have to pay for the production work. If you could help us out by going to give.jesusandscience.org, we'd appreciate it, or you can click in the description box below. If you can't give, we certainly understand, but please just give us a thumbs up and click subscribe. Thank you. Verse 4, "Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea speaks, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither travailed nor given birth. I have neither brought up young men nor reared virgins." That city was wiped out. The Babylonians killed everyone. They didn't take them into captivity. They just killed them. They burned the city. So the devastation that happened to Tyre was greater than the devastation that happened to Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem was over a 15 or 17 year period. There were three or four attacks on Jerusalem before they totally ransacked that city. And it was because of Jerusalem's constant rebellion against them. Here they were just destroyed. He says, "I've neither brought up young men nor reared virgins." I mean, the Babylonians just killed them all. And he says, verse 5, when the report reaches Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report of Tyre. They're going to be in anguish. Egypt is going to hear. Your biggest trading post through which all of your grain gets to Europe and everything, it's gone. It's gone. So they're hearing this weeks later. They're hearing it's no more. And so this is all defined by Isaiah 100 years before it happened. So this is happening in about 700 BC. This attack occurs in around 600 BC. So Isaiah is telling them what's going to happen in 100 years. But this city, Tyre, was still an ancient city in Isaiah's day. And so he says, this is what's going to happen to your city. He says, verse 6, pass over to Tarshish, wail, O inhabitants of the coastland. So he says, you can go all the way to Tarshish. You guys are going to be wailing. All you Tyrenians who are in Tarshish, 2,000 miles away, all you merchants controlling the traffic of what's being shipped back and forth, you're going to be wailing 2,000 miles away. So it's going to be months before you hear about this. And when you hear about it, you're going to be wailing. And then comes the taunt. God is, in fact, taunting them because of their pride. Verse 7, is this your jubilant city whose origin is from antiquity, whose feet used to carry her to colonize distant places? So God's saying, is this your jubilant city? It's gone. It's gone. Your prideful city, is this it? It's gone. And he says that its origins are from antiquity, because in Isaiah's day, it was 2,000 years old. He says, whose feet used to carry to colonize distant places. The Tyrenians had colonized all over the coastland of the Mediterranean because of their great success. When you have a very wealthy city that's a maritime city, they will go to all of these different ports and then take charge of that and start running that. And then verse 8, who has planned against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth? The Lord of hosts has planned it to defile the pride of all the beauty, to despise all the honored of the earth. So now comes the explanation of how did all this happen? Well, it happened because the Babylonians came in. No, that's just a part of it. That's the outworking of it. God handed it over to the Babylonians, just as we read last time, that God handed Jerusalem over to Nebuchadnezzar. He gave it to him. He gave Tyre to the Babylonians for the Babylonians to execute judgment. God was the one who planned it. This wasn't like, oh my goodness, look what the Babylonians have done. No, God did this. God was the one who did this. God is active in doling out penalties to people. He is active in this. He's not passive, that just, oh, well, our own devices will lead to the destruction. It's not just that. God can be active in it, and that's what we see. And we're gonna look more at verse 8 and 9 in detail later. So let's skip on down to verse 10. Overflow your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more restraint. So what he's telling them now in Tarshish, go ahead and just start dealing in business in a new way. You no longer got a Tyre, but you're creative people. Now you can overflow like the Nile. You no longer have Tyre overseeing you. Just go ahead and start expanding there from Tarshish. So he encourages them, just get on with your lives. Move on. Verse 11, he has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has made the kingdoms tremble. The Lord has given a command concerning Canaan to demolish its strongholds. So this is God's unshakable purpose. And it was the Canaanites who had inhabited a lot of Tarshish. And so he says that the Lord has given command concerning Canaan to demolish its strongholds. I mean, God gave it. This is his unshakable purpose. When God has purposed something, there is nothing that can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Verse 12, he has said, you shall exalt no more, O crushed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, pass over to Cyprus. Even there you will find no rest. He says, you He says, don't rejoice anymore, you crushed virgin daughter of Sidon. Remember, Sidon was 20 miles away. He says, it's not going to be very good for you either. You've developed in Kittim. You've developed there in Cyprus. He says, you're not going to have any peace there either. You're not going to have any peace. Everything has absolutely been destroyed in your cities. Verse 13. Now, in verse 13, he steps back. He steps back further in time. So this is happening. So what he's talking about is some things that are going to come about in the late 500s BC, around 600 BC, the late 500s BC. These are things that he's going to start talking about. But what he does here, now he jumps back. Because Babylon, there were two times when Babylon rose to power. The first time Babylon rose to power, they were overcome by the Assyrians. That's what this verse is going to talk about. The Assyrians had wiped out Babylon. Babylon then, about 100 years later, had overcome the Assyrians and rose to power a second time. The Babylon that we see attacking Tyre is the second Babylon. The Babylon that we see attacking Jerusalem is the second Babylon. He relates back now, he jumps back in time, and he starts talking historically. Verse 13, behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this is the people which was not. Assyria appointed it for desert creatures. They erected their siege towers. They stripped its palaces and made it a ruin. So he reflects back. He says, you know, this Babylon that's doing your attacking, there was a day that Babylon itself was overcome. But then I had them overcome their oppressors, the Assyrians, and they've risen to power again. Verse 14, wail, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is destroyed. So through verse 14 is actually a repeat of verse 1, where it talks about Tyre, the ships of Tarshish. He says this is repeated again in verse 14. So verses 1 through 14 are written poetically. They're written in Hebrew poetically. And it reads in English, verses 1 through 14, it reads poetically. And so it's something that can be interpreted, but it reads poetically. And now all of a sudden in verse 15, it switches to Hebrew prose. It's just listed out here. So it stops being poetic and it's just prose in verse 15. Verse 15, now in that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years. So you see, this isn't written poetically. This is just prose. He's just listing it as it comes. Now in that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the harlot. Okay, so Tyre was uninhabited for 70 years. Just like Jerusalem was overcome for 70 years, Tyre was overcome. So Tyre, the overcoming of Tyre occurred just slightly after the overcoming of Jerusalem. And Tyre, this same 70-year period, they too had been overcome for 70 years. And then after 70 years, God reestablishes that city. He allows it to be re-inhabited after 70-year period. And he says it's going to come to you like the song of the harlot. Now, do any of you know the song of the harlot? I didn't think so. We don't know that song in our culture. We know a lot of other songs, but they knew the song of the harlot. He says it's going to be like the song of the harlot. So he's describing it to them in terms of a song which they knew. And this is apparently a song about a harlot who, in her, as she started to age, she stopped being a harlot and she went broke and she had to go back to her old trade of being a harlot again. There was a song about this, and this is what he describes. Verse 16, take your harp, walk about the city, O forgotten harlot. Pluck the strings skillfully, sing many songs that you may be remembered. So again, he's reverting back to something that's poetic or some song there, and he's saying, forgotten harlot, you go back to your practice. Verse 17, it will come about at the end of 70 years, so he's going back to prose now, that the Lord will visit Tyre. Then she will go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. He says after 70 years, the city's going to spring back. And the city's going to once again become a capital for movement of goods throughout the Levant region and dealing with the Europeans, with the European regions. He says after 70 years, it'll come back. It will be reconstituted. Again, Isaiah is prophesying this 100 years before the attack of Babylon. So now he's projecting what's going to happen 170 years out from where he lives, from the time in which he lives. And then in verse 18, it says, her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. It will not be stored up or hoarded, but her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. So this is an interesting thing. How is her gain going to be important for the presence of the Lord? And so what happens is she's going to start prospering again. She's going to start dealing in all the ways that she dealt with before. But there is going to be a segment of her business that is going to be dedicated to the Lord. Well, what is that segment? This is described in the book of Ezra. So the book of Ezra in the Bible is after the Judeans come back from captivity in Babylon. From Babylon, they went to Persia. Cyrus released them. A lot of them came back into Jerusalem. Some of them stayed in Persia and stayed in Persia for thousands of years. It was the ones who stayed, the Jews that stayed in Persia, that underwrote the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Those that went back, it's interesting, it's described in Ezra chapter 3. So this is after they come out of Babylon. Ezra chapter 3, verse 7 says, then they gave money to the masons and carpenters and food, drink, and oil to the Sidonians and to the Tyrians to bring cedar wood from Lebanon to the sea at Joppa, according to the permission that they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. So they had permission from Cyrus, king of Persia, to rebuild the temple. How did they rebuild the temple? Well, they had to get really big cedar trees, and it came again from Lebanon, from Tyre, through Tyre. So that the Tyrians again supplied the wood that was going to be needed to rebuild the temple. And this was dedicated to the temple. Who ate in the temple compound? It was the priests. And this is what he's talking about here in chapter 23, verse 18 of Isaiah. Exactly what took place in the time of Ezra, 170 years later. That goods are going to come from Lebanon. Tyre is an island city off the coast of Lebanon, through Tyre down to Joppa. Remember, it's 100 miles south to Joppa. Joppa is where Jaffa is today in Israel. Jaffa is a port city just north of Tel Aviv. So you have the city of Tel Aviv, which is right on the water. And then you have this port of Jaffa, which used to be called Joppa. And so from that port to Jerusalem is, I don't know, I'm guessing 50 or 60 miles. And so those cedars of Lebanon would be transported then 50 or 60 miles by land for the rebuilding. This is what he's talking about. You see the precision here. It's just amazing. Well, why did all this occur? Why was all this happening? And he gives us this picture of why did all this happen to Tyre. We looked a little bit at this last time, and in Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 1. So it says, it says in chapter 23 of Isaiah, it says, the Lord planned this, verse 8, the Lord planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth. These were rich folks. If you go to Houston and you look at who are the richest people in Houston, it's not the doctors, it's not the lawyers, it's the energy traders. It's the energy traders. My neighbors, the people who live right next to us, the guy used to be an energy trader. And this was 20 years ago. And he used to trade energy. And I used to see him on his cell phone out in front of his house talking on the phone. And when he put his phone away, I said, you know, you traders, you talk on the phone for 30 minutes and it's $50,000. I mean, that's the way you guys make money. And he laughed. And, you know, but they never touched a molecule of oil or gas. Never. And they just would get on the phone, and after 30 or 40 minutes, I mean, it's $50,000, $100,000 would go in their pocket. The traders make a lot. They get a cut of all this that's moving back and forth. These weren't the derrick men, the people that run the oil wells. the guys with iron forearms that do all this work. These are the guys that the money flows. He says, this is the people I'm talking about. You merchants, you guys that run everything. He says, the Lord of hosts has planned to defile the pride of all beauty, to despise the honored of the earth. So if you look in Ezekiel chapter 26, verse 1, now in the 11th year, in the first month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, ah, the gate of the peoples is broken. It is open to me. I shall be filled now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and so forth. He says, because you laughed at Jerusalem's pain when they got attacked by Babylon, you laughed at their pain. You said, ah, you know, now I'll get even more business from that area. You laughed at their pain. It's going to come against you. You laugh at Israel. You touch the apple of God's eye. That's one reason. He gives other reasons why this came upon them. So if you look in Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 1, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre and say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance to the sea, merchants of the people to many coastlands, thus says the Lord, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the heart of the sea. Your builders have perfected your beauty. They have made all your planks of fir trees from Senir. They have taken the cedars from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of oaks from Bashan, they have made your oars. With ivory, they have inlaid your deck of boxwood from the coastlands of Cyprus. Your sail was of fine embroidered linen from Egypt, so that it became your distinguishing mark. Your awnings were blue and purple from the coastlands of Elisha. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. Your wise men, O Tyre, were abroad. They were your pilots. The elders of Gebal and her wise men were with you repairing your seams. All the ships of the sea and their sailors were with you. Persia and Lud and Put were in your army, your men of war. They hung shields and helmets in you. They set forth your splendor, the sons of Arvad. And then he goes on and he says, you got all of this. You've amassed all of this, and this pride is coming in. So you have all this pride coming in coming into you. So there was this enormous pride, and he says, I'm going to humble this thing. All of this enormous pride is there, and I'm going to bring humility. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It's interesting that God takes down those who have been walking in pride. He mentions this in Amos 1:9. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not revoke its punishment, because they delivered up an entire population to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. What's he talking about here? He says Tyre didn't remember their covenant of brotherhood. What covenant of brotherhood and delivering a population to Edom? This suggests that they were even selling Jewish slaves into Edom, into this Arabian region, just to southeast of the Dead Sea area. And they didn't remember the covenant of brotherhood. What covenant of brotherhood? In 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon when he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father. For Hiram had always been a friend of David. Tyre and David, the house of David, had a covenant between them. There was a covenant between Hiram, king of Tyre, and David. And then that covenant extended to Solomon. And it was through Hiram that many things for the building of the first temple, not the second temple, which we saw in Ezra, the first temple, which happened in Solomon's day, came through. There was a covenant. These covenants with the land of Israel, these covenants with Jerusalem, God says it means something. You make a covenant with the house of David. You make a covenant with Jerusalem. It means something. You break that covenant. We just heard that they broke this covenant with the brotherhood. You break that covenant to your own peril. That's what he told Tyre. You have broken that covenant. That's what Amos proclaimed. You did not remember the covenant of brotherhood, that covenant that you had with the house of David. When there is a nation that has a covenant, that has an alliance with Israel, and then forsakes that alliance, woe to that nation. Woe to that nation. This is what the scriptures are showing. Why did all of this destruction come upon Tyre? He says, because your pride was overflowing, and because you broke these covenants, you laughed at the destruction of Jerusalem, and you didn't keep this covenant of brotherhood with them. And so God deals with us. And so one of the biggest things that God deals with in our lives is pride. How do we handle pride? And you see this. He dealt with this with his disciples. Sometimes he just had to lift them up. And other times he said, you know, Simon Peter, you know, Satan's desiring to sift you as chaff from wheat. I mean, you say you're going to stand with me through anything. I mean, you're about to have some real trouble here. And so what he would do is it's like we walk on this knife's edge, and sometimes we need him to encourage us, to remind us of who we are in him. And then we have a tendency to go to the other side, and we see that, wow, my pride has gotten so much. And so he has to push us back. It's never a delightful experience. But God in his mercy allows this to happen. And this is something that we deal with all the time in our lives. I'm going to read a portion from Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God allows us to walk with him. And there are things that happen in our lives that correct us. It is never delightful to be corrected, but in the end, it's so much better than if he had allowed us to walk in pride. There are many things that come at us in life, and I see it in my own life, and I don't want to go into the details, but God is so faithful. God is so faithful. He says, just remember this. He says, don't be selfish. Don't have empty conceit. But with humility, regard others as more important than yourselves. Don't look out just for your own personal interests. Look out for the interests of others. May the Lord get hold of our hearts to walk with him. If you don't know the Lord, I urge you to know him. Please come and talk to me today. Come and talk to me in person. If you're online, send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together. If you do not know the Lord, if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will get together and I will share with you, and you'll get saved that very day. You can get saved today. You can get saved. Don't continue to walk like this. And if you know the Lord, remember him. Remember his faithfulness and his goodness. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. It is a wonderful word. Thank you for Jesus, who deals with us, who deals with his people with such compassion and with such mercy, and corrects us by his hand of grace. Thank you, Lord, for that even hand of correction which comes from Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you teach us through the word of God, that everything in this word comes to pass, that every word is true. Lord, give us the fear of you through the scriptures. Let us have the fear of you through what the prophets have written. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray for these young people. Father, give them a heart for you. Blessed be Jesus, who is the greatest, wonderful Jesus, who's given himself for us. Lord, you are so good. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to give to help out with these podcasts, you can go to jesusandscience.org. All donations are tax deductible. We have no employees in this organization. All the money just goes for the contract work on the production. Thanks so much.